All right, welcome back, everyone, to the deep dive. We're diving into a pretty big case this time. The decision from the Board of Immigration Appeals just last year, matter of MRMS. And, you know, I think it really highlights some pretty key points about how family-based asylum claims are going to be looked at moving forward, especially when we're talking about, you know, situations where folks are facing persecution from criminal organizations like cartels.
Yeah, this case is it's heavy stuff. You know, it centers on a Mexican family trying to get asylum here in the U.S. and the things they went through. I mean, it's just awful. They have their land targeted by a cartel. Their grandson was actually killed. Other families in their community were forced out, displaced. And their argument, you know, their whole case rests on the idea that they were targeted specifically because they were this family.
Right, right. So, like, the core issue we really need to figure out here is, did the BIA buy that? Did they agree that what happened to this family was on account of their family ties? Because that's the language of asylum law, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, you hear a story like this and you immediately think, well, of course, being targeted by a cartel as a family should be grounds for asylum.
Yeah.
But as this case shows, it's not quite that simple.
No, not at all. It really digs into the whole nexus requirement in asylum law and, like, how do you actually prove that connection between being persecuted and the reason for it? And the BIA's decision here, the specifics of it, are really important for understanding how this all plays out. They ended up actually agreeing with the immigration judge who initially denied asylum.
Okay, hold on. So they said no to this family. What was their reasoning? I mean, why not grant them asylum?
So the big thing in matter of MRMS is this. The BIA basically said the cartel's main goal wasn't to pick on this family specifically because they were a family. Like, their real objective, their primary goal was getting control of that land. And the harm to the family, as terrible as it was seen as, you know, just a side effect of that, not something done specifically to target them because they were related. You know what I mean?
So it wasn't personal, so to speak. It was about what they had, that land.
Exactly. That distinction is huge in this case.
Yeah.
And the BIA really leaned on a previous case, matter of LEA. It's like a landmark decision. And that one established that just being part of a family, in and of itself, it's not enough for asylum if the harm you're facing is sort of like incidental. You know, if it's tied to a different motive that's not protected under asylum law, like in this case, where the cartel was after economic gain through controlling territory.
So the BIA is saying there has to be a very direct connection. Like, it wasn't enough that they were a family that experienced harm. It had to be that they were harmed specifically because they were this particular family, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly. They applied the one central reason standard. This means the thing you're being persecuted for, the protected ground here, it's being a family that can't be just some minor factor, you know? It has to be the core reason, the driving force behind why the persecutor is doing what they're doing. And in the BIA's view, yeah, family was involved, but it was secondary to the cartel's main goal of taking that land. I mean, they even said it outright in the decision, family membership is subordinate to the cartel's ultimate goal of land acquisition.
Wow, so they drew a pretty clear line there. So it's not that the BIA didn't believe what this family went through, it's that they didn't think it happened because of their family status, right?
Yeah, that's an important point. The BIA didn't dispute what happened, the facts of the case. They really focused on the why behind it all, you know, the persecutor's intent. And the evidence, at least to them, pointed to a bigger campaign by the cartel to take over that area. This family, unfortunately, got caught in the middle of that. And the fact that other families in the area were also forced out, that kind of supported the idea that this was primarily about territorial control, not like a specific grudge against this one family.
Okay, this is where I start to think, you know, this could make things a lot tougher for people seeking asylum in these types of situations, right? If a group like a cartel is trying to, I don't know, take over a whole region and families get trapped in the crossfire or targeted just to clear them out, how do you ever prove that being a family was the main reason they were attacked?
That is a huge implication of this ruling. You're absolutely right.
Right.
Anyone facing a situation like this, they're going to have to show a lot more evidence, direct evidence, that the persecutor was specifically going after them because they were a family, not just that, you know, bad things happened to their family as part of some bigger operation.
So what kind of evidence are we talking about? It can't be easy to get inside the head of a cartel, right?
It's incredibly difficult. This decision really puts the burden on the asylum seeker to prove that the persecutor's real motive wasn't something else, something where the family just happened to be in the way. They might need to show, I don't know, maybe specific threats that called out their family, maybe a history of attacks against that specific family that go beyond what the cartel was doing in the area overall. Maybe even like statements from the persecutors that say, we're coming after you because of who your family is.
Okay, so that makes sense. But what about a situation where, you know, it's not so clear cut? What if the cartel had multiple reasons for targeting them? Like they wanted the land, yeah, but maybe they also had some other beef with this family specifically. How does that one central reason standard work then?
That's a really good point. It gets tricky, right? Because the way one central reason has been interpreted in matter of MRMS and really building on matter of LE, it's not enough for the protected ground to just be one factor among many. It has to be like the driving force, the main reason for the persecution. So if there are multiple reasons, the asylum seeker would probably have to show that the persecution wouldn't have happened if not for them being that specific family. The BIA is basically saying if the main goal isn't a protected ground, the fact that a protected ground is involved, you know, kind of accidentally, that's not enough.
I can see how this might cause some issues, especially with criminal organizations, right? Because their violence, their motives, it's not always so easy to put it in a neat box and say, this was the one and only reason.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the big criticisms of the matter of MRM decision. Some experts are saying it sets the bar way too high for people seeking asylum, and it doesn't really take into account how these groups really operate. Because targeting families, even if it's part of a bigger plan for money or territory, it can be a really effective way to control people, to instill fear, right?
You mentioned earlier that there were some, what do you call them, circuit splits, like different courts looking at these types of cases differently.
Yeah, totally. You see this a lot in asylum law. There isn't always one uniform interpretation. So, for example, the Fourth Circuit, in a case called Hernandez-Avalos v. Lynch back in 2015, they seem to be more open to seeing family relationships as central to the persecution, even when other stuff was going on. Matter of MRMS, with this really strict one central reason approach, it kind of goes against that, you know?
So where your case ends up could actually affect how this whole nexus thing is looked at.
Unfortunately, yeah. It makes things really unpredictable for asylum seekers, and it highlights how much these interpretations can vary.
So, big picture, what's the most important thing for our listeners to take away from matter of MRMS, especially when we're thinking about family and these criminal organizations?
I think the key takeaway is this. The BIA is really doubling down on a strict interpretation of the nexus requirement. If you're seeking asylum based on family ties, and especially if the persecution is coming from a non-state actor, you're going to have to show very clearly that being that specific family was the central reason, the driving force behind the danger you faced. It can't just be that your family was harmed as part of something bigger that the persecutor was trying to do, like grabbing land or making money. It makes things a lot harder, and it definitely shows that there's still a lot of debate about how persecution and the reasons for asylum are connected in these really complex situations.
So to tie this all back to you, the listener, I think this case raises a really important question. How does the need for asylum, this very basic human need, how does that work when we're dealing with groups like cartels, groups whose tactics are always changing? If we only look at their actions through like a purely economic lens, even when it's families who are suffering, does that create an unfair burden? Does it make it almost impossible for people to find safety? It's a tough question, and it shows how much law and real life are intertwined.
It's a huge question, no doubt. And if anyone out there wants to go deeper into this, I'd recommend checking out the full matter of MRMS decision. Read matter of LEA again, and then look at what different courts are saying, like that Fourth Circuit case we talked about, Hernandez-Avalos. Seeing those different perspectives side by side can really help you understand how asylum law is changing and developing in this area.
Absolutely. Great advice. Well, on that note, we're going to wrap up for today. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.
Thanks for having me.